Ecclesiastes 7. We hadn't been here for a few weeks. We'll read verses 14 to verse 18. The text tonight is verses 16, 17, and 18. Verse 14, Solomon says, "In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all." And so the obvious and most conspicuous features of verses 16 and 17 are the phrases overmuch, overwise, and overmuch wicked. So those three things should capture your attention. As we open up this text, let's pray. Lord, we ask for your blessings. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for all that you are to us. Father, we want to worship you for no other reason than that you are God and you deserve to be worshiped. As Revelation 4 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou has created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created," and that includes us, Father, and we want to praise you this night. So we ask for your blessings. Speak to us, Lord, from your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Two scriptural, if I can say, overtures. Now, there are two things mentioned in this passage that we could never have too much of. So let's disqualify a few things. First of all, you can never have too much righteousness if in fact it comes from God. And you can never have too much wisdom if that in fact comes from God. Here, the preacher says, be not righteous over much, neither make thyself overwise. Now, we kind of understand and we're led with the second phrase, but what is this righteousness that he speaks of? Now, to begin with, I don't believe Solomon is teaching us that we can have too much righteousness from God or too much wisdom from God. Now, we'll never be able to take it all in, especially his wisdom. It's too high for us. And we'll never be as righteous as Christ. We've been given that righteousness. It's been imputed unto us through faith in Jesus Christ. So we'll never be as righteous as the Lord himself. But who would not say that they do not want more of it? I want more of the righteousness of Christ. In fact, we just read in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." When I hunger and thirst after righteousness, what is it going to make me more righteous? Of course, Solomon says here, be not righteous over much. So what in the world is he talking about? So let's cancel out one thing. First of all, is the righteousness of God, which is given unto us by the faith of Jesus Christ. He says, again, Matthew 5, 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." It seems like if this was a bad thing, then we shouldn't be hungering and thirsting after it. But it's a different righteousness, I think we can say from the outset. Matthew 6, 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And so we are to seek the kingdom of God. And God's righteousness for ourselves, brethren. And then in the Proverbs, turn there. We'll go to a few passages in the Proverbs. So first thing I want to do is cancel out what I think Solomon is not saying. I don't believe he's talking about the righteousness of God when he says to us, you be not righteous over much. What in the world are you saying, Solomon? And so Proverbs 11, 4, if you go there, Proverbs 11 and verse 4. So we're looking first in regard to be not righteous over much, and we're looking to see what the Word of God says about righteousness and being righteous. Proverbs 11, 4, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that. Verse 5, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Verse 6, the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. And so this is in fact a good righteousness. Verse 19 of that same chapter, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Verse 21, though hand joined in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. The righteous. Proverbs 12, 28. Proverbs 12 and verse 28. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Verse 13, chapter 13 and verse 6, righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. And one final passage in the Psalms, all the way back to Psalms 5, the fifth Psalm, in verse 12, Psalm 5 and verse 12, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Brethren, we are to desire righteousness. We are to desire God's righteousness. And it is an attribute of God. In fact, Psalm 145 and verse 17, the scripture says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Yours, brethren, my attitudes should be, give me more of God's righteousness within. I want more of that so that I might not sin against God, so that I would be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the days of his flesh, he was righteous in every way, impeccably righteous. So then, what does Solomon mean to convey and teach us when he wrote, be not righteous over much? What is this righteousness that I am to shun and turn away from? What is it? Could it be that he spoke of being filled with a righteousness that is of our own making and of a righteousness that does not come from God, but it is conjured from within our own hearts? Like the Jews in Romans, Paul said they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, they're going about to establish their own righteousness. And they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Charles Bridges said this, every right principle has its own counterfeit. There's genuine Christianity and there's counterfeit Christianity. There's genuine righteousness that comes from God, and there's the counterfeit. It's like a wheat and a tare. They look similar when they're growing up. Remember, the reapers wanted to go in and root them all up. And the master said, let them both grow together. Brethren, for us as Christians, we must resist the temptation of making ourselves righteous over much, which is not to be more like Christ, but to be full of self-righteousness, which is nothing more than pride and wickedness. O Christian, let not your righteousness be of your own making and devising. Let it not be from your own heart, but let the righteousness which you possess be from Christ himself. Let it be the righteousness of God in you. Let me show you a perfect example of what I think Solomon, perhaps Luke chapter 18, may be referring to. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. The Gospel of Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. Be not righteous over much. The Lord spake a parable here. It says, and he spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. We know what that is, right? It's kind of to have a holier-than-thou attitude. It's to promote your own righteousness. It's to be righteous over much, perhaps similar to what Solomon's saying here. But the Lord speaks this parable about those that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, because that's where his righteousness came from. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, which is a form of the word righteous. He went down, he was right, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And so we see the Pharisee trusted in himself that he was righteous. Turn back to the Proverbs chapter 30, Proverbs 30 and verse 12. Proverbs 30 and verse 12. And so what does it mean to be righteous over much? Well, perhaps to be self-righteous, to be full of your own righteousness. Proverbs 30 and verse 12, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Pure in their own eyes. Isaiah 65 and 5, the prophet Isaiah 65 and verse 5, just a few references. Isaiah 65 and verse 5. I just referred to this a moment ago. Isaiah the prophet refers to those which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. God says, these are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. And then Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. The book of Romans. Also refer to this, but I wanted to read it to you. Paul speaks of his own countrymen, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And we know the Pharisees and the scribes of Jesus' day, they saw themselves as righteous. They were the trophies of self-righteousness, but they were full of wickedness and corruption within. And so consider what Solomon says here, be not righteous over much. What is this righteousness? I believe perhaps self-righteousness. It's counterfeit righteousness. And then second, Solomon warns us in the same passage, in the same verse, neither make thyself over wise. Now, you cannot have too much of the wisdom of God. In fact, Solomon taught us in the Proverbs to get wisdom. But also Paul and James, the apostles of Christ, taught us this. Look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5. Proverbs 4 and verse 5. We're taught to get wisdom. But here we see that Solomon says, neither make thyself over wise. And I think it helps that we see those words, make thyself. Notice he says in verse 5 in Proverbs 4, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. You know what wisdom he's talking about? He's talking about the wisdom of God's word. It's what Paul told Timothy. He says, your grandmother taught you the scriptures, and the scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. And so he taught him that. Paul taught the Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How? In all wisdom. This is not bad wisdom. This is what we want. And then he says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, that was Colossians 3:16, but Colossians 4 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul tells us to walk in wisdom. If I am going to walk in wisdom, I must have wisdom. So walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. If we're going to have that seasoned conversation, that seasoned speech, beloved, if we're going to walk as the godly would, then we must have the wisdom of God. And then James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men, not just a pinch here and a pinch there, but he says he giveth to all that ask liberally. Good measure. He gives you, you ask for it, God gives it to you. But he doesn't just give it to you, you sitting there idle. Brethren, you have to search the scriptures. You need to seek after wisdom. You need to get it. You need to go after it. Dig for it like gold. And so, beloved, you cannot have too much of the righteousness of Christ. You cannot have too much of the wisdom which comes from God, but you can become conceited with your own wisdom and wise in your own conceits. And I think that's what Solomon's speaking of here. Neither make thyself over wise. Proverbs 3:7, just listen. Solomon says, of course, verses 5 through 7, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. He says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So be not wise in thine own eyes. Here Solomon tells us, don't make thyself overwise. We tell our little ones sometimes, don't be too wise for your own britches or whatever we say. He's a wise guy. And so, brethren, we need to be so careful that we don't become wise in our own conceit. In fact, Proverbs 26:12 tells us that. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceits? That's what 26:12 of the proverb says. He says, there's more hope of a fool than of him. Proverbs 26:12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? It means conceitedly, arrogantly wise. But is that the wisdom of God? No. That's the wisdom of God doesn't make us like that. The wisdom of God humbles us. And so this is not the wisdom of God. This is not the wisdom to seek after. We don't want to be know-it-alls in our wisdom. And even as Christians, we don't want to be know-it-alls. You know, we could have a lot of, you know, you've heard that term, too much of a good thing. Well, you can't get too much of good things from God, but you can project them as an arrogant person, and you can project good things towards others in an arrogant way. You can present the scriptures in the wrong way, which is good. That's like making yourself over righteous or over wise. Even with something that's good. We turn something that's good into something that's sinful. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, when you're talking to somebody, you're kind of like, you come off like a know-it-all. And I think That's an aspect of what Solomon is saying here. And so we don't want to do that, brethren. We don't want to be arrogant. We don't want to be wise in our own conceits. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 21, in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 5 and verse 21, the prophet Isaiah pronounces woes upon them. Notice, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. We don't want that to be us. Listen, if somebody tells us we are wise, then we want to deflect that straight up to where it came from. The wisdom of God. Praise the Lord for that wisdom, because without him, I wouldn't have it. I'd have none of it. And in 1 Corinthians 3:18, one more reference. While you're going there, I'll read to you Romans 12:16. Paul in 12:16, he says, mind not high things, means don't be haughty. H-A-U-G-H-T-Y. Haughty means arrogant. But condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. That's what Paul says. Don't be conceited with your wisdom. Listen, we can be conceited with the wisdom of God. We don't want to do that. That's not what we should project. And in 1 Corinthians 3:18, the Apostle Paul here says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, seemeth means thinks himself, let him become a fool that he may be wise. You know what that means, huh? Let him be a fool in the world that he may have the real wisdom. The wisdom of God. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. That is the wise of this world, not those that possess the wisdom of God. Therefore, brethren, don't make thyself overwise or conceitedly wise. Cease from thine own wisdom. Submit yourself to both the righteousness of God and to the wisdom of God. Don't destroy yourself with your own self-righteousness and by your own conceited wisdom. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. And we don't want that to be us. And so back to the text in Ecclesiastes, that finishes verse 16. Notice Solomon says, be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? So this is not a good righteousness. This is not good wisdom. And then he says, the third overmuch is be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Now, this one's a little more puzzling, but what I believe the preacher here is saying is, I believe he's warning impenitent sinners against continuing in their sins after being warned to repent of their sins. So the preacher is warning sinners, impenitent sinners, don't keep adding to your sins to your own ruin. See, he says, be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? And that's kind of the key, I think, the last part of that phrase in verse 17. Listen, Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and he said something that I think says this: don't provoke God by continuing in your sins, even after you know that you've been sinning against God and against his holy word, and you still continue in your sins. When you do this, you're treasuring up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and the righteous judgment of God. In other words, you've been warned about your sins, and you still recklessly drive on and sin against God with a high hand, presumptuously. Do you know that in the Old Testament there was no sacrifice for presumptuous sins? To sin with presumption means to sin against God. And in the Hebrew, when you define it, it means you sin against God with a high hand, arrogantly sin against God. Look at Romans 2 and verse 5. Romans chapter 2 and verse 5. Well, I'll tell you what. Go back to 1:21 first, and then we'll read 2 and verse 5. We know that the scripture says in chapter 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Notice, who suppress the truth, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They push it out of their minds. They hear the truth and they stiff arm the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. And it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them or to them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even God's eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Notice, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. From this point, three times, God says, I gave them up to their own heart's lust. I gave them up to work uncleanness between themselves. I gave them up to a reprobate mind. And in chapter 2, in verse 5, the apostle says, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, an impenitent heart is one that knows what to do, but is rebellious against the truth of God's words, heard the truth, knows what is right to do, but refuses to do it. After thy hardness and impenitent heart, notice, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And so we see a treasuring up. It's a provoking of God. And I believe that's what Solomon's saying. Be not overmuch wicked. He's teaching the wicked that you better be careful because your sins will be your ruin. And you've been warned about your sins and your wickedness against God, and it's not going to go well with you. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you some personal examples in a moment. But turn over to 1 Thessalonians 2:14. I say personal, scriptural examples. 1 Thessalonians 2:14, Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica. He says, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, notice, to fill up their sins alway. So they're filling up their sins. Like Paul says in Romans, they're treasuring up unto themselves wrath. And he says, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. So these sinners knew that they were sinning against God, but they still provoked the Almighty to his face. See, I think that's what Solomon's talking about here. When Solomon says, be not overmuch wicked. And this is what I believe he's saying. Neither be thou foolish. And I'll give you these examples. Consider Absalom, the son of David. And notice, if you get back to Ecclesiastes, notice what he says before I read these names, and you'll remember what happened to every one of them. He says, be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. And notice, why shouldest thou die before thy time? That's an interesting phrase from this wise man. Before thy time. So these names of these persons in the Holy Scriptures that I read to you, they went headlong to their ruin, into their sins. And every one of them, I would say, came into close contact with the one true and living God. And they went headlong into their sins. Overmuch wicked. Notice Absalom, the son of David. Ahab, king in Israel, and Jezebel, his wife, died before their time. Haman, wicked Haman, died on his own gallows, was very close, looked at and despised Mordecai, who knew the true and living God of Israel. Esther the queen, knew her too. Saul, first king in Israel. Judas Iscariot. These wicked men, one woman, knew the one true God, but refused to humble themselves before him in repentance and faith. Instead, they went on in their sins and died miserable deaths, as the wise man says, before their time. They didn't live out the years of their days. And Solomon closes this passage out. He says, "It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thy hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all." And so, brethren, be not righteous over much. Consider what Solomon says here, and don't make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? That's the key to understanding that verse. Destroying yourself with your own self-righteousness, with your own wisdom. And then be not overmuch wicked. Listen, this, I don't think, applies to the saint of God. This applies to those that are lost and dead in their trespasses and sins. They've been warned to turn from their sins to Christ, and yet they go on with a high hand sinning. And Solomon gives the end of many such that go on like that, who die before their time. And so consider these tonight, brethren. I pray the Lord would give you this and bless it to your souls. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, we ask for your blessings. We thank you, Father, for this word. Lord, I know hard to understand. Father, coming from and written by the wisest man to ever walk the planet, save our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know that our Lord was infinitely wiser than Solomon. And yet, Father, you gave it to Solomon to write the book of Ecclesiastes. And so we ask for understanding. Help us in this, Father. Help us in our practical Christian lives with what we've learned tonight. And I pray you will receive all the honor and the glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.